Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What is it we don't understand about thou shalt not? What is it we don't understand about that, Keith?
Sometimes nothing.
Wow. Thou shalt not. Wow, praise the Lord, wow. Oh, when Dave said, you know, how many of you have done this? I started to say, I don't want to hold up my hand, but I guess I better hold both of them up. Because I'm guilty. I guarantee I am guilty. But that's why I needed a Savior. Without a Savior, I'm in trouble, right? But I got a feeling all of us are in trouble without a Savior. Well, praise the Lord, because of the Savior, you know, we are so grateful that the Savior's coming again soon. You know that? I mean, I am so convinced with what's going on in the world. Wow. I mean, it's every week is, wow, that's all I could say. You know, it's something new happening. Of course, many of you know that, how many of you know Jack Van Impe? Many of you know Jack Van Impe. Well, he's been on TBN for 23 years, and he's no longer on TBN. He left them a couple weeks ago because he made a statement, and I was watching the show that night. He said, next week, I will begin to reveal to you the churches and the men that are involved with Chrislam. You know, putting Christ and Islam together and how they're going to put the Qurans in the churches and how they're going to start taking down the crosses and all these things. They're going to take the blood out. And he named 91, actually didn't name all of them, but he named several of them, that there is missionaries in foreign countries where there's Muslims. They've had to take 91 or 94 words out of the Bible to be able to have the Bible in those countries. I thought, wow, if you take the blood out of Christianity, what do you have? Nothing. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. You take the cross out of Christianity, what do you have? Nothing. Nothing. You got a godless religion. That's what you have, a religion. Well, I'm not involved in a religion. I'm involved in a personal relationship with the King of Kings. Amen. The Lord of Lords and God of Gods. And I want to know, I just stand in awe at the things that's happening today. I mean, I was on the, we re-aired our GLC. They re-aired our program, I think the 30th of this month of June. I don't know, man, our phone rang off the wall. You know, I mean, it was phone calls all day long. And we were trying to answer their questions. And, of course, I got a real nice email from a guy that said that, you know, I remember back in the 80s when the NASA mentioned, he said, I remember seeing that when you mentioned it. He said, I thought, you know, it was back in the 80s when I heard about Planet X, you know, and how that it's coming. You know, this is going to be a real interesting time. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not an astronomer, and I'm not a NASA scientist or anything else, but I am smart enough to go and look at their website and see what their scientists are talking about. And, you know, of course, they're saying that there's going to be some very, very interesting things take place, you know. And, of course, Jesus told us about all these things that were going to happen, and they're all happening. You know, when I look around the world today, I mean, when I look at these signs, and we're going to talk about some of these signs today and some of the next ones that's coming up, and you're not going to like it. I can tell you, you ain't going to like it. But Jesus said it, so it's going to happen. I ain't going to like it, but it's going to happen. Of course, I don't like wars and rumors of wars either, do you? Has it been happening for a long time? Yeah, all my life. But right now, there's more of them going on than I've ever dreamed would happen at one time. Right, Tom? I mean, they're everywhere. We have wars going on everywhere. And I never dreamed that I would ever see in my lifetime, I never dreamed I would see a Muslim become president of the United States of America. But we got one, you know, and I never dreamed that I would live in the time when I would see all nations of the world turn their back on Israel. Just like the scripture says, God says, in the last days, I will bring all nations of the earth against my nation Israel, because she will not put me first. In other words, they're putting another God before him, and he ain't happy. So he's going to do some awesome things. And of course, because of Jack Van Impe stands on the word. I mean, I don't think I know a man anywhere in the world that even comes close to knowing as many scriptures as Jack Van Impe. I heard him say the other night, he only has 15,000 verses committed to memory. Only 15,000. So when I tell you, you know, that I'm going to lock the door today and until you can write down your favorite 100 scriptures, you can't go home. You reckon Jack would have a problem with that? Oh, no. He said, how about 1,000, Thurman? He said, well, surely everybody knows at least 1,000 verses if you're a Christian. Well, I got news for him. There's a lot of us don't know 100, do we? You know, so, and that's what's wrong with us. That's why we live a defeated life, is because we do not know what the scripture says. And then when we do read it, we don't think God means what he really says. Just like that scripture when he says, have no other gods before me. You really think he means that, Kim?
Oh, absolutely.
So why don't we do that? That's a good question, isn't it? And so, you know, it makes us sick and does all kinds of things to us. When he says, do not hold unforgiveness toward anyone, forgive everybody from your heart. So why do so many Christians hold unforgiveness? I mean, that's got to be the biggest killer in the church for cancer. Almost everybody we see, almost everybody that has some form of cancer in their body, they have an unforgiveness toward someone. And that's, it seems to be the terrible disease, you know. But God told us to do a lot of things. I mean, did he tell us not to grumble and complain? So, and I don't know a single Christian that grumbles and complains. Do you? Oh, I should have said I don't know a single Christian that doesn't grumble and complain, including me. You know, I mean, if I'm not careful, I mean, just like yesterday, I was out mowing and I had got a big gasoline-powered weed eater, you know, that's got two wheels on it, or where I can, you know, really cut some big stuff with it. And, of course, it seemed like I wouldn't get far in here at the wall. I'd have to replace those 155,000 lines. Those are big lines, but just like they wouldn't last. Of course, I'm cutting weeds bigger than my finger, you know, so I guess that's one reason, you know. So I thought, these crazy lines, these things ain't no good, you know. They ought to last longer than this. And somebody, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Well, why do I do this? I guess because I'm a human being, right? I know none of y'all do that, though, right? None of you grumble and complain at all. Well, I try not to. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm so grateful that I have the little weed eater. I'm so grateful I have the lion to go on and even though it don't get but about here at the ball. If I didn't have that, I'd have to be out there with a hoe or something, and that would be a whole lot harder on me, I guess. And, of course, you know, when I got through, I guess I got tired of that, and I was going to get some lion, some bigger lion. I ran out. And Cheryl said, well, let's go. Why don't we go eat? And I said, okay. And I said, we got some spaghetti in here. She said, no, I want to go have some tilapia. I said, oh, my gosh, you want to go out to eat? She said, yes. I said, okay, get your stuff together, and I'll take you out to eat. So, I mean, here I am dirty, been out weed eating and everything. So we just go up to Mom's Cafe. I'm soaking wet with sweat. We get up to Mom's Cafe and walk in at 5:30, and there's not one person in the whole cafe. One, and they're on the other side. First time I've ever been in there in my life that the place wasn't just had all kinds of people in it. So we had our dinner in perfect peace. You know, it was quiet. You know, I mean, my goodness, we got to eat in peace, and then we got through. We started to check out, and one of the girls said, are you on Christian television? I said, oh, yeah, I'm on Christian television, 4 30-minute shows a week. And, of course, everybody that was working there, men and women, were all standing right there because they didn't have nothing to do. And one of the boys said, what do you teach? I said, I teach people how to walk in divine health. He said, what? I said, you didn't even know that was available, did you, son? No. I said, you know, don't feel bad. The church don't know that's available either. But I said, you're looking at a man that learned this principle about 30 years ago. And I said, I virtually have not had a sick day in 30 years. I said, I've been able to get up and go and do anything I want to do when I want to do it, anytime I want to do it, for 30 years. I said, I've not had any kind of medication. I don't take pills, have not had anything. And he said, well, how in the world do you teach people to do this? I said, I have a healing school next Saturday from 1 to 5. I said, come, and if you'll sit there for 4 hours, and I said, if you will do everything I tell you to do from God's word, I can guarantee you, you can walk the rest of your life with no sickness and no disease. See, people don't know that you can guarantee it. But Jan, the lady that owned the restaurant, she said, but I will guarantee you, you'll have to do everything he tells you. There will be no deviations from what he tells you, because I know he's going to tell you to do exactly what God says, and you cannot deviate from God's word. And you know, that song we just read, there was 10 commandments there. And I guarantee, if you don't keep those 10 commandments, I guarantee you cannot walk in divine health. And the average man or woman, we come down to, like Dave said, we talk about adultery. How many men do you know that have never committed adultery in their life? There ain't one. I don't care who you are, there's not a man alive that hasn't committed adultery. Because Jesus, see, we think, well, I've never been to bed with any woman but the woman I'm married to. Okay, that's good. But that still doesn't mean you've never committed adultery. You know? So all of a sudden you say, I've never been to bed with a woman I'm not married to. I'm married to this one. She's the only one in 7 years that I've been to bed with, I slept with, so I've never committed adultery. And all of a sudden a real good-looking woman with a low-cut blouse and all that stuff walks by and you say, I've never committed adultery. You're committing it right there. You're looking at that woman. Your eyes and your mind are thinking about things you shouldn't be thinking about, and you're guilty of adultery. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you're guilty of adultery. Same as if you went to bed with her. So how many men do you know that's never committed adultery?
Zero.
That's right. I ain't never met one. There ain't no such critter. You may tell me you never have, and you may be to a point where you have mastered it now, but I'll tell you, in your younger years, you didn't have that mastered as a young man. I'm going to tell you what, you know, I mean, when I was 20 years old, I can remember if a really good-looking woman in a real skimpy bathing suit walked in, every boy in the place was, whoa. We looked, didn't we, Weston? I mean, that's just boys, right? Yeah. That's what they're made out of. And they have never been trained, so they break the commandments of God. And so that's why they can't walk in divine health. So anyway, as we're standing there, nobody in the restaurant, nobody. I said, but I'm going to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to start bringing people into this restaurant. Fill this place up in the name of Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord, for doing it. I said, guarantee they'll start coming in. And before we got to the door, there's about 8 or 10 people walked into the door. They were just coming in. Now, what can we do as sons and daughters of God when we pray? When you pray in faith, what happens? It happens. Whatever you pray for happens if you pray in faith. I mean, somebody asked me a question a while ago, and I've had this question asked. I've had preachers tell me I'm completely crazy on this one. But I want to take you to a scripture, because I want you to see this. I want to take you to John 20:23. And I want you to see this. Now, this is probably the Pharisees and Sadducees had the biggest problem with Jesus here of any other thing that he did. Who does he think he is? God? Well, that's who he was, wasn't it, Keith? Who does he think he is? Because look at this scripture. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. You know, I mean, most people, most Christians, first of all, let me ask you a question. If I ask you, who are you, what do you tell me? You should say, I am a son or a daughter of God. I'm a joint heir with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I have died to myself, and the King lives in me. So what you see right there is not me, but it's Jesus. I am his body on this earth. Now, when you see yourself like that, that scripture will work for you. Until you see yourself like that, that scripture will not work for you. Because we fail to realize in these last days, we are really the body of Jesus Christ walking around on this earth. We're not a Thurman Scrivener or a Keith. We are the body of Christ. And until you see yourself as a son or a daughter of God, you can't speak these things, but Jesus knew who he was. He knew, yes, he was a man, just like you and me. He was a man, but he was also God. Well, Jesus went so far to say, if you know me, then me and the Father come and take up our dwelling place within you. So where is God the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus living right now, Keith?
In me.
In you. You know, if we got the revelation that he's in us, and we forget so easy. I mean, to tell you, we forget. I do. I mean, I preach the gospel, teach it, walk in it all the time, and still I can forget who I am. I can be out there mowing the grass and grumbling about the line being broken instead of praising God because I got line. Y'all see where I'm coming from? I forget who I am. I forget that I'm a son of God, a joint heir with the King. In fact, I want to come back to this in a minute, but I want to go, I think it's Ephesians 2, 6. I think that's where I want to go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And let's see what that says. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where are you in the Spirit if you're a born again child of God? You're already seated in the heavenlies. I'm a son of God. I'm seated in the heavenlies. That's why I can come boldly into the throne room of God and ask for anything I want to in times of need. And when if I come in there in faith, he always says yes. Never no. So what do? We fuss and we grumble and we complain. Oh, it's too hot. You know, I got tickled at one of the gentlemen a while ago. He said he went out and took a shovel and hit a couple of licks, I think, with it. And he thought, wow, this is hard work in this heat. So I think he quit. He said, I guess you would have done it, didn't you? I said, that's exactly what I was doing day before yesterday. I said, I dug up a whole water meter pit and put some new lines in it, put everything in just like I wanted, got the valves all put in. And then I sat there for about 30 minutes, let everything cure. And then I turned the water on, made sure there was no leaks. And then I took the shovel and I covered all that up, put the meter back together. And I got through about 6 o'clock. When everybody else was in on the air conditioner, I'm sitting out in the heat digging a ditch. But I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know, I don't yield to the flesh. I mean, the other day I came in and Cheryl said I was so hot. And so, first of all, when I walked in the door, she was about 10 steps from me. She said, "Ooh, you smell strong." You reckon I might have been sweating a little bit? I was soaking wet. I mean, soaking wet. There wasn't a dry thread on me nowhere. And so I went and got me some ice water, and she got me some iced tea and everything, and I sat there for a little while. But, I mean, I have been known to not perspire, but sweat when I work like that. And then nobody wants to be close to me, I'll tell you for sure, nobody. And so, I will have to say that day when I came in, I forget what day it was last week, I had worked so hard, so long, although I had stopped and drink water and everything else, when I walked in the house, I was actually a little woozy. I was so tired. I thought, I've almost gone beyond the limit today. You know, I said, I'm sure glad Jesus is my strength. And I know he's my strength because in the flesh, I was almost where I didn't want to be. I'd worked too hard, too long in the heat. But when I think about who I am in Christ, in these days that we're living in, I think, and I may be wrong, you know, I'm just looking at what everybody else is saying, and I'm looking at what different ministries are saying and what the Word of God says and what NASA's saying and everything else. And then I'm looking back to this year, and I've already got 6 months of this year done. Has anything unique happened in the first 6 months of this year? Has it, Keith?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we can go back to the tsunami in March, right? We can go back to the thousands of people got killed. We can go back to all the earthquakes that happened around the ring of fire out in the Pacific. We can look at all the tornadoes. We can look at the down in Chile in the first part of June, whenever that mountain range blew up, and one of those mountains hadn't been active for 1,000 years, and it blew up, and it blew stuff 6 and 7 miles into the atmosphere and blew ash and stuff miles and 100 miles away. It covered things, shut down airports, everything. I mean, it doesn't make any difference where you go today. Joplin, Missouri, you know, wiped out. All up and down the East Coast, all up and down the mud and the stuff up and down the Mississippi and the Missouri. When we went up to Des Moines the other day, as I'm making my final approach in to come around to land at Ankeny Airport, everything to the right, as far as you could see, was underwater. Roads and everything. And the good part about it is, because of the excessive ice and snows they had up there, they say this water problem up there is not going to be over until the last of August. Isn't that something? Everything's underwater. Farms have washed away. I mean, Jesus told us all these signs were going to happen before his return. He's got to be at the door. So I want us to make sure we're ready when he comes. You know, don't sit back on your laurels and do nothing, because if you do, he ain't going to be happy with you. I'll tell you for sure, don't look and say, well, if he's coming next month or next year, then I ain't going to do nothing. I'm just going to sit back and do nothing. You know, in fact, I got tickled at Cheryl the other day. It was about 11 o'clock at night. I said, honey, I'm so tired, so hot and everything. I'd worked all day, and it was really late at night. And she was in here working, doing stuff in there, too. And I said, I know it's late, but I need a great big bowl of ice cream. She said, a bowl of ice cream this time of night? She said, what the heck? We might not be here next year anyway, so I'm going to have a bowl with you. You see? I mean, of course, we'd probably both work so hard that one extra bowl of ice cream ain't going to hurt us no way. I mean, if you'd sweated as many gallons as I sweated that day, one bowl of ice cream probably didn't do nothing. It might have put back a little bit of what I lost. But anyway, you know, we have a tendency to get lax on taking care of ourselves and things. You know, in fact, you know, I had my well house, as I told you before, my well house had been eaten up by the termites. You know, I don't understand. Obviously, I'm not pleasing God, because he said if I do everything right, he will protect me from the devourer. Well, the devourer ate my well house. So there's got to be something Weston, there's got to be something I'm doing that's not pleasing the king, because the devourer ate my well house. And they weakened it so that, every time I look at that, I think, God, what am I doing that's not pleasing you? And then I'll be like that day with Eldon, when Eldon and I, we had that test for a couple of weeks, and we were together for nearly 2 weeks, and we were working on all kinds of stuff. And the end of the 2 weeks, he said, Thurman, you have had so many tests this week, but he said, I believe you passed your test. You know, he said, I haven't heard you grumble and complain or nothing. So he said, I believe you passed your test. I said, okay. I said, Lord, he said, I wonder what caused all this to come upon you. I said, well, I don't know. I said, Lord, would you tell me what I've done that doesn't please you? I said, that's okay, Lord. I said, forget it. I don't have a notepad and a pencil with me. Because I got a feeling that if he really started talking, I'd need a notepad and a pen to write down everything that I've done that doesn't please him. You know where I'm coming from.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so anyway, but we did have a lot of tests that week, you know. But I will have to say, while we were having all those tests, he and I was working, and it was hot, just like it's not quite as hot as it's been here. But it was extremely hot that day. And we were under, we sat down under a shade tree. I told him, I said, Eldon, why? I said, I got to have a break. I got to have a drink of water. He said, well, I need a drink of water too. So we sat down under a big oak tree. The wind ain't blowing or nothing. It's just nice, quiet, but it's hot. We drinking some water and he starts praying. He starts holding his hands up and said, Lord, give us a brand new heart. Make us strong. I don't know what all he prayed, but he's praying. And all of a sudden, the wind starts blowing in the tree that we're under. I mean, no other tree's moving. And this tree starts shaking and leaves start falling all around me and him. And all of a sudden, we're both anointed with a brand new strength. We get up and finish our work and don't even get hot. Wasn't that an awesome answer to prayer that day, Eldon? And I just stand in awe when I see what God does when his sons please him. And Eldon was pleasing him. He was praying the prayer of faith. And the Lord shook that tree. And man, every time we sat down under that tree, we remember that, don't we, Eldon? That was such an awesome thing. Isn't our God an awesome God? Amen. I mean, if you hadn't had some of these experiences with him, you need to get closer to him. You need to walk close to him. You need to love your mate. You know, a lot of people come to church and they're good to their mate while they're in church, but they forget who they're talking to. Weston, I'm going to pick on you a little because I know you're a great man of God and I know your wife's a great woman of God. When you talk to her, who are you talking to?
The boss.
No, that's a wrong answer. She is not the boss. You're the boss. That's a wrong answer. When you talk to her, you're talking to Jesus. Is that right? Because is Jesus living in you? So when he's talking to you, he's talking to Jesus, isn't he?
He sure did chase me this morning.
You know, the thing about it is we fail to realize that when we talk to someone, when you and I talk, when I'm talking to you, who am I talking to?
Jesus.
That's right. That's exactly right. When you're talking to this little lady, who are you talking to? Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget it. To walk in love. And don't you forget, too, when you talk to him, you're talking to Jesus, right? Now then, what if you forget? Ooh, can a man and woman that's married together get into a knockdown dragout? They can, but if they stop and think, uh-oh, I'm talking to Jesus here. I better straighten my act up. You know, the Lord said, husbands, if you don't treat your wives like Christ loved the church and was willing to give your life for her, he said, I'll not answer your prayer. So you get it crossways with your wife and you don't repent and straighten your act up, you can forget going to the throne of grace because you ain't never going to get a prayer answered. Isn't that awesome? But how many men know that? How many men that have been mean to their wife never repented? And then they wonder why they can't get a prayer answered. But see, God's got a set of rules, doesn't he? And he's got a lot of thou shalt nots, and he's got a lot of thou shalt, right? And if we don't know those rules, we can't walk where he wants us to walk. Just like this scripture says, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you realize that you're seated in heavenly places as a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Well, I guess I could say this. If you are a child of God, you are a son of God, you are a daughter of the King, then what should you act like? A heathen? What should we act like? We should act like sons of God, right? We should act just like our Heavenly Father. And then, of course, let's go to Matthew 5:48. I want to show you. I had a young man come in one time to a church, and I was teaching some of these kind of principles. And he said, well, I guess the next thing you're going to tell me is I got to be perfect. He said, you know, we're all sinners and we could not do what you're saying. And I said, well, What does Matthew 5:48 say? Be ye therefore imperfect, even as your heavenly Father, which is imperfect. Is that what it says? That's not what it said, was it?
No.
So, Scott, you're supposed to be what?
Perfect.
Perfect? I mean, what kind of a standard are we going to use now? I'm supposed to be perfect as who is perfect?
Jesus the Lord.
Oh my goodness. What a standard for me to have to try to meet, right? Now then, if that's the standard God requires for me to be perfect, like He is perfect, if I can do that, do you think I'd ever be sick? No, I would never be sick. Guarantee. I would never have a sick day. I wouldn't have to worry about nothing. Would I ever have to worry about getting a prayer answered? Now, when Jesus walked on this earth, can you show me one single place in the scripture when Jesus prayed or rebuked the enemy that God didn't give him the answer? No, He answered him every time. Now, see, that's where you and me are supposed to walk. He told us that all over the Word. He told us that if you will believe me, you can do these great and awesome things. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to that. Do you know where that's found? John 14, 12. Let's go to John 14, 12, 13, and 14. Let's look at this. Look at John 14, 12, 13. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, he that believeth on me, Jesus, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So what are we supposed to be doing? Have you ever done greater works than Jesus? Well, before you answer that, think. Have you really? Have you really done greater things than Jesus did when he was here on this earth? I have. Many times I have done greater things than Jesus done. You say, how did you do that? When did Jesus ever preach on television to 95% of the people on the earth at one time? He never done that. But he done it through me. It was him doing it through me, but he was using me for his glory. So when he said, greater things than these shall I do in his name, in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, every week, 4 30-minute shows a week, we're on God's Learning Channel. And if you happen to have a receiver, you can be in 95% of the entire populated earth and you can receive their signal via satellite. That's why that people call us from India, from Australia. You know, I had a guy call me here a while back from Australia. He said, you know, I saw you on GLC. You know, and he said, I've got a son that's having problems. And he said, I don't know what the problem is, but he's just got some physical problems. And I said, well, okay. I said, he said, how in the world would I find out the answer? I said, well, ask God. He said, what? Ask God? I said, oh, yeah, he talks. He really does talk. Well, he said, I've asked before a few things, but I've never heard God talk to me. And I said, well, he'll talk to you. Guarantee he'll talk to you. And he said, how in the world would I ever get God to talk to me? I said, well, the way to start out is fast and pray. He said, fast and pray? What does fasting mean? I said, are you a Christian? Yes. I said, you go to church? He said, yes. I said, y'all have never had any kind of a fast? You've never heard any kind of teaching on fasting? He said, no. I said, it means go without food. He said, what? Go without food? He said, for how long? I said, well, a good place to start would be the first fast, do a 3-day fast. Just water only, and just get in the Word and fast and pray and ask God what the problem is with your son. He said, sir, 3 days without food, you would die. I said, no, I got news for you. I said, I've done 3 day, 7 day, 10 day, 14 day, and an 18 and a half day. I said, and I've worked the whole time. And I said, the longest fast I've ever done was 18 and a half days. And I said, I only drink water. And I said, I was still working. So I said, yeah, you can go a whole lot longer than 3 days without dying. You don't have to worry about that. And so he said, well, I wish there was some way I could figure out what is wrong with my son. I said, well, Lord, why don't you just tell me what's wrong with his son? And immediately come into my mind, computer games. I said, was he one of those kids that watches or plays these wicked computer games? Oh, my goodness. He said, he just sits in front of that television for hours. I said, that's your problem with your son right there. That's a problem. I said, the Lord revealed it to me right there. I said, when I asked him, first thought came to my mind was computer games. I said, that's how you get God to answer you. I said, when you seek him, I said, if you stay prayed up and confessed up and fast every once in a while, I said, when you ask him something, he will speak to you. He will tell you what the problem is. I said, now you need to get your son off of those computer games. You know, if all you're doing is sitting in front of a computer, killing people all day long, fighting, isn't that amazing that they learn how to kill? That's awful what they're doing. But Jesus said, that, and he tells us, truly, truly, I say unto you, he or she that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going unto my Father. I stand in awe when Jesus would preach to 10,000 people. I think, how in the world did they all hear him? He must have had some kind of a booming voice. You know that? Stand up on that mountain and preach to 10,000 people. Wow. I mean, the biggest group I've ever spoken to at one time in my life was about, I guess, 3,000 or 4,000 down at Big Sandy when I made God's Power down there. And my goodness, without amplification, I don't know how in the world they would have heard you in the back. I don't know how, but they did it. Jesus did it, you know, so, but he knew how to do anything. Now then, when you realize that you're already seated in heavenly places and you're a joint heir with the King and you're the body of Christ and on the earth and you have died to self and he lives in you, then this John 20:23 that we go back to will make sense. You go back to John 20:23. Let's go back there. John 20:23. It says, whosoever sins you forgive or remit, they are remitted or forgiven unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now then, if Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, lives inside you and you're his body on earth, can you forgive sin? Sure you can. Sure you can. Because who is actually forgiving the sin? God, which you are his representative. Actually, let's put it this way. On this earth, you are God. Now that's a mouthful, isn't it? I am God? Well, that's more than I can bear. No. If I've died to self and I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, who do you see standing here today? Jesus. So, and who's standing here? God. Now then, you may be looking at a piece of flesh that Jesus made and lets Thurman Scrivener live in it, but this piece of flesh is supposed to have died, right? And I'm supposed to be letting him live through me. Now then, the day I used this verse, whenever there was a woman out in Silver City, New Mexico, that had 2,823 demons inside of her. That was an interesting day. I'm glad Dave was there and Cheryl was there because they all got to see this interesting day. You know, if I had been all by myself and come home telling them this wild story, they might have said, okay, I wonder what kind of pizza he had before he... You know, or maybe wonder what kind of what they put in his drink at the bar, you know, when he stopped to get a Coke or whatever. No, I don't even drink Coke, so I couldn't have done that either. But somebody might think there's something wrong with Thurman if you hear that story about the 2,823 demons. But with Dave and Cheryl both there as witnesses, hey, it was an interesting day. That's all I got to say. I will say that the demon, the thing about it is, kept commanding the demon to leave, and they kept telling me, we ain't coming out. We have legal right to be here. I said, but she has confessed all of her sin. And they said, no, she has not confessed all of her sin. I said, then what sin? I demand that you tell me, what sin is allowing you demons to stay in this little woman? They said 24 years ago, she joined the Rainbow Girls. And that's the sin that opened the door to allow us to come in. I said, well, how many of us is in there? He said, there's 2,823 of us. I said, but I'm going to call her forth and I'm going to have her confess that sin now that I know what it is. And they said, but we're so interwoven in her brain. This is what they were doing with her hands. We're so interwoven in her brain, we will never allow her to confess that sin. Never. I said, so then in that case, I will remit her sin. I said, it's written in John 20:23. And so I'm going to remit her sin. And when I do, she's going to be forgiven. And then you guys are going to come out. And that little woman came across that table and spit all over me and said, almost nobody even knows that verse. But those that have read it don't believe it. I said, but you're looking at a man that not only knows it, but believes it. And I confessed her sin. And after I confessed her sin, I said, now then, little lady, you are forgiven. I said, now you demons of hell, come out of her in the name of Jesus. In a restaurant, you know, in a little breakfast place there with people sitting all around. And of course that, you know, as I'm commanding demons to come out, it was amazing. You know that, in fact, when this woman went flying through the air one time, I mean, she went literally flying through the 8 or 10 feet across the floor, just laid out level. And she went flying across the floor, and I went running over there, and I jumped down on top of her to hold her down because I know she was fixing to kick and scream and everything else. And as I did, as a guy sitting right there at the table, he said, sir, he said, I'm a paramedic. Can I help you? I said, you know anything about casting out demons? He said, no. I said, then you can't help me. If you don't know nothing about demons, are you going to be much help to me? Not hardly. And so, and it was a very interesting day, but I think about that remitting sins. Now then, the average person today, Christian, does not believe you can remit the sins of someone else. But what does that say? Whosoever sins, does that mean I can remit your sin?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is.
Is that what that says?
Yes, sir.
Do you think God really meant what he said?
He meant exactly what he said,
yeah. So since we have learned that, I tell this story nearly every time I tell this story about Kim, after her and Scott had come here and they'd heard that for the first time, and that was a big one for them. We can forgive people's sin. Well, it's written. And so anyway, they get it. And so one night they're at home and their electricity goes off and they call a power company and they say they're going to have it back on in a little while. And so they go to bed and wake up the next morning at 6 o'clock and it's still off. And so, wow, what's the deal here? And so they're praying, Lord, what's the deal? And the Lord speaks to Kim and says, remit the sins of this block. And her first statement, you know what it was? Lord, I can't remit the sins of this block. Isn't that amazing? And then she slapped herself. Lord, what am I talking about? I've just learned this principle. Why do you think he called that to your spirit? Because he knew you knew it in there. He knew you'd been taught that. So she said, Lord, I'm sorry. I remit the sins of this block. And what happened immediately, Kim?
Power came
right back on. Isn't that amazing? Now, it was the sins of the block, the people in their block that were keeping the power off, and the Lord wanted the power back on, but he had to have the sin issue taken care of. And one of his little children, he knew that they had been taught the principles, and he said, Kim, remit the sins of this block. And of course, you know, she's just like a normal human being. Lord, I mean, when God tells you to do something, I think about the first time the Lord told me, son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him and I will heal him. He had terminal stage 4 cancer. I'm a Southern Baptist. I ain't never seen a cancer person healed in my life. I heard that. It's just clear. I mean, God, it's like I'm hearing him standing right there saying that. And so when I prayed with her, Ruthie, and I'm walking down the corridor, I look up and I said, Lord, you didn't hear what Ruthie said. She said he has stage 4 lymphoma cancer. He can't be cured. I can just see God saying, son, if you ever get a hold of who I really am. Is that our problem, Weston? It's my problem, and it's your problem, and it's all the rest of our problem, isn't it? We fail to realize that we're already seated in heavenly places, that the King of the universe lives right inside you, and he's made us a book completely full of promises that we can stand on for our healing or our deliverance or anything else. Now, of course, that day, me and Dave and Cheryl, all of us got a great revelation after 7.5 hours of casting out demons out there in Silver City, New Mexico. I'm here, we're in our room. The management finally told us we had to leave the restaurant because we were running off everybody. I mean, it was awful what we saw and the foul language that woman was speaking and everything else. I wouldn't have missed that for the world. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. But here we are up in Cheryl's and my room. This woman's laying on her back on the bed. Cheryl's up on her hands and knees right beside her with the towels mopping up the crud that comes out of her mouth. And I'm straddled right over the top of this woman's stomach, sitting on her on top of the bed. And Dave's down at the foot holding her feet down so she don't kick me. Wow. When's the last time you've seen a preacher in a scene like that in a bedroom, huh? I'm sure glad my wife and Dave were there. That's all I got to say. My goodness gracious. Yeah. But anyway, at 7.5 hours, I looked over at the clock and I said, Lord, we were down to four demons. Four. I've commanded these things to come out now for hours and hours, and I'm wore completely out, and they keep coming out till we get down to four, and them last four just ain't coming out. And I look over at the clock and I said, Lord, in 1 hour, I got to preach. I said, Lord, when is this going to be over? And he gave me a revelation that's changed my whole life. He said, son, I am a faith God. And without faith, it's impossible to please me. And when you believe it's over, that's when it's going to be over. Not when he believes it's going to be done. When I believe it's done. In other words, when I believe I'm healed, I'm healed. He's a faith God. He made me the promises, didn't he? When I believe I can cast those demons out of that woman, when I know. So, man, when he spoke that, I'm a faith God. And without faith, it's impossible to please me. And when you believe it's done, that's when it's going to be done. I grabbed hold of that woman. I said, this is it, woman. This is the last time. I'm going to shake you. I'm going to command these last four demons to come out. And they coming out. And I shook her and I commanded with all the boldness I had, you last four demons of hell, come out of her and go to the pit of hell and stay there and don't you ever come back. And I pushed myself up off of her. I stood up at the end of the bed and I said, woman, get up. You're delivered. I guarantee it in the name of Jesus. And she opened her eyes and she, where am I? What am I doing here? She looked up at Cheryl and said, who are you? Cheryl had only been there with her for hours, but her eyes had totally been blinded by those demons of hell. The woman got up, Dave turned her feet loose, and she was a completely, totally normal woman. Now, when we started, she had stomach problems. She had pains in her stomach, but she had 2,823 demons in her. And we cast every one of those beasts out. But that last little statement, the Lord said to me, change my life forever. I am a faith God. And when you believe, that's when it's going to be done. When I believe, when I stop looking at my circumstances, when I believe I am delivered from all demons, I'm delivered. So when a demon comes and whispers in my ear, he means that for everybody but you. I don't agree with him. Do we, Keith?
No.
But that's what the average church member does. We fail to know who we are, sons of God. When the demons of hell come upon us and begin to put pains and symptoms upon us, we agree with them because we're human. And we can go with our feelings because we're here and we live in a flesh and blood body. And it's real easy to go by feelings. Is your knee still hurting you today, Weston? Yeah, it's still hurting, isn't it? You can feel that, can't you? But the word says that he bore your pain and removed your sickness. That's where you missed it. But see, you've got to believe. You have to believe. You don't go by what you feel. You know, that's just like when I think about Weston's leg and how he twisted it the other morning trying to get out of bed. He said he hung in the sheet or something and twisted and fell out on the floor and twisted his knee. And so, but anyway, I think about a young man that I talked to last week when we were out at the Justin Fun Day, a young man there that probably 15 years ago when he was about 30 I talked to him on the phone one night, and I did not realize that on Friday night he was playing baseball for the church. And he went sliding into home base or third base or whatever it was and twisted his knee. When he got up, I think it was third base because he had to hobble on to home. You know how we are as men, you know. His legs hurt, but he's going to make it home base. And he did, you know. But that thing swelled up and it was hurting him. So it got hurting him so bad, of course, that night they took him to the emergency because the doctors or hospitals already all closed, you know, except for emergency. So they took him to the emergency and they checked him and gave him a big leg brace and told him to go home and lay down and don't do nothing and come in Monday morning and they'll do surgery. His leg's messed up. Got to do surgery. Well, Sunday night, I called him. I thought he was going to help me work on a car Monday because he is a body man. And I called him and I said, Russell, I said, this is Thurman. I said, I didn't see you at church today. He said, well, I was there. I just left quickly. He didn't tell me he had his leg all bandaged up. Didn't tell me he had a brace on it. Didn't tell me he had slid into home third base or whatever. Didn't tell me none of that stuff. And I said, before I asked him, are you going to help me tomorrow? He said, Thurman, by the way, what good things is God doing in your life? I said, Russell, God's doing all kinds of good things in my life. I began to tell him about somebody I prayed for and they got healed, somebody else and got delivered. And for 30 minutes, I talked to him. Man, he's writing down all them scriptures, everything. And after about 30 minutes, I said, Russell, I didn't call you to tell you everything God's been doing in my life. I want to know you're going to help me with that car tomorrow afternoon. He said, I'll be out the shop at 6:00. He said, I'll help you. I said, okay. I didn't realize he's at home with a bandage on his leg. Scheduled for surgery in the morning at 7:00. And this is Sunday night about 9:00. Anyway, when I got off the phone, he said, I'll be there. His face already welled up in him. So his wife said, you said you're going to help him tomorrow afternoon. He said, I'm going to. He said, you know, the same Jesus that Thurman serves is the one I serve. Said if he'll do all them things for Thurman, he'll do them for me. Amen. I'm his son just like Thurman is. He ain't nobody special. Amen. I'm a son of God. Are you a son of God? A daughter of the King? Is God a respecter of persons? Absolutely not. He understands faith, doesn't he? So Russell said, come in here, honey. We're going to read every one of them scriptures Thurman quoted to me tonight. Every one of them. We're going to read them all. And he said, we read every promise. Said, there were some awesome, powerful promises. He said, I took that thing off my leg and said, throw this thing away. She said, we paid too much money for that. I'm going to put it in the upper closet. Sounds just like a woman, doesn't it? She going to put it in the closet because they paid too much money for it. Russell told her to throw it away, but she didn't obey him. She put it in the closet. He said, I'm going to get up in the morning. Now, look, listen to his confession. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to hit the floor running. There ain't going to be not one single thing wrong with my leg. Mark 11:23. Let's turn to Mark 11:23. And I want you to see what the King says. That depends on where you're at in your faith walk. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. How much doubt? None. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. Honey, throw this thing away. I don't need it. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to hit the floor running. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to work all day tomorrow. I am not going to go to the hospital. I am going to have no surgery. My leg is completely normal and well right now in the name of Jesus. Now, obviously, he believed that, didn't he? So the next morning, instead of testing the water like we all do, you know, we first wake up in the morning and say, is it still down there? It hurts a little. Oh, it hurts a lot. No, that ain't the way he did it. The next morning, he threw the cover off and hit the floor running. Throwed his clothes on, said, bye, honey, I'll see you tonight after I get through up in Thurman work on that car. Well, I didn't know all this was going on. But at 6 o'clock, I showed up out there with my car that we were going to put straighten the frame on so I could put a quarter panel. The car was for a man that was out of work and needed transportation and needed to have no money. So I had this car that had a bent quarter panel. So I went to a wrecking yard and took the quarter panel off, but the unitized body was bent and I didn't have the equipment to straighten the body, but Russell did, and he was going to straighten the body. Then I was going to put the quarter panel on it and fix it and paint it and give it to this guy so he'd have a car. And that's what I did. But when I went out there that night, Russell's running around there in the shop. Well, as soon as he saw me pull in, he said, "Come right on in here, Thurman." And I went in, I barked, backed it right over the frame machine. He goes, "Okay, now you got it in place." He said, "Now sit down a second, I want to tell you something." I said, "Okay, what you got to tell me?" He said, "Last night when you called, I was sitting there with a brace on my leg. I ruined my knee Friday night at a baseball game for the church." And he said, "I was scheduled for surgery this morning at 7 o'clock. But after listening to you talk about the things God has done and where you walk in faith," he said, "I told my wife, we're going to pray. And when I get up in the morning, I'm going to hit the floor running. There ain't going to be nothing wrong with my leg." He said, "I have worked all day long, not one single pain or nothing with my knee." And to this day, he's never had a problem with that knee. I didn't even know it was. Sure, we got to meet him. Yeah, we saw him Saturday at the Justin Fun Day. He's still a member of the Baptist Church. We saw him. And I guess that's why he's fresh on my heart, you know. I just think, what can we do as children of God when we really believe the promises of God? That's what he said, wasn't it, Keith? Anything, if you believe and no doubt in your heart. In fact, Matthew 17:20. Let's go to Matthew 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, the question was, why could we not heal the boy? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, if we could walk in faith, if we could walk in total faith, what could we do in the name of Jesus? But you really have to believe, don't you? Just like Johnny Brumfield. When I prayed over Johnny, that guy down in Manny, Louisiana, if you've not seen that testimony, you ought to see that. It's an awesome one, isn't it? Johnny was a big tree, fell across his legs, crushed a big tree. I mean, a tree that big around. It broke, crushed his leg, took him an hour and a half to saw him out from under that tree, get that thing, two big wreckers out there trying to get that thing off of him, and just crushed his legs. And they got him off, and then they care flighted him over to Shreveport, Louisiana, and he was in ICU for 30 days, and they'd done numerous surgeries and put pins, bolts, screws, you name it, they put it in his legs, and he ain't walked a step. 21 months later, when I meet him, he's not walked a step. And I prayed over him sitting right on the front row of that little church down in Manny, Louisiana. And then when I told him, I said, "Do you believe that?" He said, "Sir, I'm a Southern Baptist. If it's written in that book, I believe the promises of God." I said, "Okay, that's the kind of faith our Lord's looking for." So I said, "Well, then take the steel off and let's stand up and walk." Now, he ain't walked in 21 months. He unstrapped all that steel, Weston, and throwed it off to the side. And I reached over and took him by the hand. I said, "Get up." He bent his knees and I started to pick him up and he said, "Oh, it hurts." I said, "Don't go by what you feel." I said, "Get up." And I just jerked him like that. I mean, I just jerked him up. And now he's standing up and I could see the doubt and unbelief coming all over him. I said, "Come on, take a step." I jerked him again and he had to take a step or fall down. And so I said, "Come on." I jerked him three times and he took one, two, three. And he said, "I'm walking." I said, "Yes, you're walking. Praise God, you're walking." I turned Johnny Brumfield loose. He walked around the podium three times and then ran to the back door and all the way back with both hands up screaming, "God is awesome." And Johnny Brumfield's still walking today. Now, what is it that done that? Oh, I know, it was just some kind of special anointing upon Thurman Scrivener, wasn't it? No, it was faith in the name of Jesus by two men, him and me. It was by faith in our Lord that did that, wasn't it, Keith?
Yes.
That's what gives us everything we have, faith in our Lord. Now then, let's go find out a little bit about what the Lord says is going to happen in the last days in Matthew 24:4. Matthew 24, start with verse 4 in the NLT. That'll be good. Matthew 24:4. And Jesus told him, don't let anyone mislead you. Oh, you know, in church, who would mislead you? You know, I mean, you could never be misled. Everybody teaches the word. Just like Jack Van Impe, he was going to expose some men that are getting involved with Christendom, and TBN kicked him off the air. They don't want him. Jack Van Impe said, ain't nobody going to tell me what I can preach. He said, I withdraw my contract. And so he'd been with them for 23 years. 23 years he'd been preaching the Word of God on TBN. And TBN, because they don't want to offend the Muslims. That's what's wrong with our New World Order and our New World Religion. We don't want to offend the Muslims. So with Chrislam, they're going to put the Quran in the Christian churches. And the pastor's going to read from the Quran on Sunday. Not in this church. It ain't ever going to happen in this church, folks. If you come here to hear the Quran written or read, you come to the wrong church. You're going to hear a whole lot of Jesus' words, but you ain't going to hear nothing about the Quran. Amen. But Jesus says, don't let anyone mislead you. Verse 5 and 6. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah. They will lead many astray. Let me tell you, I'm 72 years old, going on 73 years old, and I'm telling you, I have been led astray in our Christian churches. You know, I first started getting the idea that God might really heal, like he said. I mean, I had people that, all the way from PhDs down, that told me, Thurman, you're crazy. You've misunderstood God's word. I said, how do you interpret? I can have what I say with my mouth if I believe with my heart. How do you misinterpret that? They tried. You know, they tried everything in the world. And of course, Dave said, if you want to find out something about Thurman, just type in Thurman Scrivener. Go into the internet and you'll find there's some PhDs and seminaries that'll tell you, this guy's crazy. But every time I run into one like Dave that's got healed, or Weston, I mean, he had stage 4 terminal cancer, and he did what God's word said. With no outside radiation, chemo. Oh, when I read that complete article, but I have not written the part that I need to write, but I have read your entire, he's written a book. And last week, when I got in from being tired and hot and tired and everything, come in, took a shower, went in for 2 or 3 hours, I sat down and I read his whole book. And his book's talking about the scriptures that he used. It's very well done. Put it together beautifully. And anybody that has a problem of getting healed, you need to get Weston's book as soon as he gets it out. It's got everything in the world in there. It heals you, and it'll heal anybody. Everything they need, and you give them all the instructions. And he even tells you a lot of things why, if you're not getting your prayers answered, maybe you're not a child of God. Maybe you're not loving your wife like Christ loved the church. I looked at so many of those things, I thought, man, this man's been in the book. That's where you learned all them things, in the book. And they healed him. You know, when the doctor says, after he goes back and checks him, and he says, I will not take chemo or radiation, and he goes back a few months later, and the doc says, what kind of miraculous medicine are you taking? And he said, it's the word of God. And he said, well, I'm not too sure I believe that, but he said, whatever you're doing, keep it up. And then the next time he went down there, he told him, you don't need to ever come back.
He said, don't come back.
Don't come back. He said, there's not a sign of cancer left in your body.
Yeah. No B-cell activity. None.
None. Everything was perfect.
All out of the bone.
And it happened reading and standing on God's mighty promises. Oh, that, I forgot to tell you, those things don't work anymore, was it?
Too late.
Too late. Got to you too late. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
They do work today. God's word always works, you know, but everybody, and of course, Weston, he did not know at the time when he come down with his sickness that the reason he was sick because of his unforgiveness toward his father. His father was mean to his mother, And of course, you know, he tells all about that. But unforgiveness, you have to get rid of unforgiveness. You know, you have to walk in love. God has no respecter of persons there either, is he? I don't care who you are, how good a Christian you are. If you hate somebody, he told you to love them. And when you got rid of that and got right with everybody else you said and everything, then your healing began to come. And now as long as you continue to walk in love, you won't ever have to worry about having cancer no more. Isn't that amazing that the Word of God really does work? But it's absolutely awesome. It says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah. They will lead many astray. Wars will break out near and far. But don't panic. Yes, these things must come, but the end won't follow immediately. Now, have you been seeing wars and rumors of wars all of your life? Sure. Yeah, they're everywhere. You know, but don't panic. This is just part of the birth pains. Verse 7 and 8. The nations and kingdoms will proclaim war against each other, and there will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. Are we seeing that? In fact, I just read today about North Korea, the famine that's going on in North Korea. I thought, the man over there in charge of North Korea, they're having such a tremendous famine in their country, at least 50% of their soldiers are malnutritioned. 50% of the men that supposedly their armed forces are not fit to go to war because they don't have enough to eat. Isn't that sad? That the famines, but did Jesus tell us famines were going to come? I'm telling you, you know, if you think famines are bad now, you wait till next year. You know, I mean, you look at the failures of the crops, you know, that we've had fail. You look at the fires. I mean, where was it in the, was it Arizona or New Mexico? New Mexico, wasn't it? Had the 170 square miles, the biggest fire ever that's happened in the state of New Mexico. You know, but we've had fires all over Texas, New Mexico, Arizona. We've had tremendous fires. And if we don't have fires, what do we have? Floods. I mean, we either got too much water or not enough water. We got no water. Or we got water running out our ears. It's everywhere, you know, and we got. And of course, the other day when I was looking at the in Chile down there, you know, Chile's that real long country on the west coast of South America, and how that this mountain range had blew up. And I mean, it was awesome that some of the blasts that I looked on the internet, I went, they looked like a nuclear cloud. Do you see some of those things? It was 6 and 7 miles into the atmosphere, those humongous clouds. And then, of course, 100 miles away, there was ash that looked like it's 4, 5, and 6 inches deep. This covered the countryside. And, of course, some of those pieces of ash wasn't little. Some of those things, one guy was holding a rock. He held it, and it was that big. Now, how would you like for that thing to blow 6 miles in the air and fall and hit you on top of the head? That'd be devastating, wouldn't it? So there's really no telling what these things done. But if you haven't seen some of the things that's going on, I mean, just like Joplin, Missouri the other day, you know, I mean, it just wiped out a 1 mile by 6 mile long area. It destroyed everything in Joplin in that little range. And no telling how many people got killed. I mean, I think about this one doctor there in the hospital. He said when he finally got outside looking for his car, at the time he wrote the article, he had never found his car. It was gone. Blew away. Who would ever dream that a car would blow away? But the other night I watched a storm on Channel 4, the Storm Chasers. Did anybody see that? You saw that. Those 4 or 5 people in that van, and they went the wrong direction, ran straight into that Category 4 or whatever that thing was, and it literally ripped the top of that van off, Weston. Did you see that? Awful. I thought, wow, these crazy kids. I mean, don't tell me. I mean, when I'm out there flying, in fact, Dave and I and Cheryl was coming back from Odessa one day, and I'm looking over to a computer screen, and Dave said, Thurman, look, what's this little thing right here? I said, that's a thunderstorm just started building right there. We only get an update every 5 minutes. We're within 5 minutes of current of all the time. And I said, I'm going to go ahead and make a little left turn here to miss that about 20 miles. He said, wow, 20 miles? Why would you? He said, it's only a dot on the screen. I said, but it's 100 miles in front of us. And by the time we get there, with the currents and things like they are, it'll probably be big. So we're flying 200 miles an hour, you know, or 225. So it's only going to be about 20 to 25 minutes when we get there. When we got there, this thing was already 30,000 feet tall, had hail in it an inch and a half in diameter. And Dave said, as we fly by and look at that big monster, he said, Pastor, I'm sure glad you're way out here to the side. Now, all that happened in just 20 minutes. You don't want to be in one of those. You want to make sure. You don't want to say, well, let's try this one and see how it works. No. When you see one of them monsters building, especially then when we got up beside it, in 20 minutes, it went from nothing to hailstones an inch and a half in diameter. You have any idea what that does to an airplane? You fly into hailstones at 200, 250 miles an hour. That's an inch and a half in diameter. You know what that'll do to an airplane? It'll destroy it. That's why the big boys don't fly in them either. Their airplanes are made out of aluminum just like mine is. So you don't fly into those things. You go around them. Now, sometimes they can go over them, but I can't go over them when they're 30,000 feet tall. I have to go around them. My airplane don't fly, but it'll go about 23, 25,000, but the highest we've ever been in is about 17, 18,000 because our oxygen masks are only good to about 18,000. We don't have pressure flow, and so I don't go above 18,000. But it says, all these things will only be the beginning of the horrors to come. Nations and kingdom will proclaim war against each other, and there will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this will only be the beginning of horrors to come. Wow, let's go on a little bit and see what else he's talking about. Then you will be arrested. Now, this is the part I said you won't like. Oh, Lord, couldn't we have done this another way? All those others, have we seen all those other things happen? Yeah. Now, are we seeing this beginning to happen to certain places in the world right now? Yes. Then you will be arrested, you'll be persecuted, and you'll be killed. You'll be hated all over the world because of your allegiance to me. So if somebody walks in and says, we're going to kill you if you don't deny Jesus Christ, what are you going to do? I'm going to say, have a heyday, Buster. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's not ready for me to go, you can't touch me. I'm going to be like the prophet. When the king says, go out there and bring that prophet down here. And he sent his captain and 50 men with him. And he goes out there and he says, man of God, the king wants to talk to you. He said, if I be a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and kill you and your 50. There was a lightning bolt and 50 men and a captain lay dead on the ground. So the king sent another 50 out there. And he comes out and he says, man of God, the king wants to talk to you. Come on down right now. And he said, if I be a man of God, may fire from heaven come down and kill you and your 50. And they were all dead. The third time it happened, the captain went out there and said, man of God, please don't kill me and my men. Please, the king wants to talk to you. He said, okay, I'll go down. So who is in control? Jesus is in control. Do we have anything to fear? No. If we lose our life, we're going to win. We get to go home to be with Jesus. It's not a big deal. But you know, with what's coming, look what he says is going to happen. Then you'll be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because of your allegiance to me. And then look at that verse 10. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. We're going to find out what we're made out of, aren't we? I think this is the next thing. I think it's already here. This is happening to Christians all over the world. You know, whenever you find Christians that, well, they come to church on Christmas and Easter. When you get those kind of Christians, you think they're going to be able to undergo this persecution? Not at all, Keith. When they come and say, if you don't deny Jesus right now, we're going to blow you and your wife away. Oh, I have no problem. See, that's the average Christian, right?
That's right.
You say, no, you ain't in control here. Jesus is in control here. Amen. He's my Lord and my God. You know, and if they say, well, we're fixing to show you, and they just cut you apart with a machine gun and you fall into pieces on the ground, the only thing that they kill was the flesh. The rest of you still stand in there and say, hey, honey, come on, we win. We're going home.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And you grab each other's arms and in a heartbeat, you're in the third heaven. Yeah. Because you're already seated with him in heavenly places already anyway.
Amen.
Isn't that something? But are we going to have to remember that when that day comes?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, Jesus said these things are going to happen. Now, who would like to see this happen? Nobody. Nobody. No, nobody. Verse 11 and 12. We're going to take communion here in just a moment. And many false prophets will appear and will lead many people astray. Many false prophets. You know, if I ever saw a time in my life when we're having false prophets everywhere in the church, it's right now.
Amen.
When I think of the men that are getting their churches involved in Chrislam, and they're going to read from the Quran in their churches, hey, don't get involved in one of those churches. I mean, if you're going to read something, at least read the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't get involved with the Quran. That is God. In other words, those two books are on totally different spectrums.
Right.
The Quran is death and hell, and their God is the devil, Allah.
Amen.
Ours is peace and love, and our God is the one and only real true God, Jesus Christ. Boy, but you know, most people, you know, when I talk to people during the course of the week, have you heard about Chrislam? When I talk to pastors, they'd call me. I said, what do you think about Chrislam? About what? You haven't heard of Chrislam yet? No. And some of these guys are pastors of big churches. Wow. We're not staying attuned to what's going on very well, are we? And of course, this one I don't like either. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Is sin rampant everywhere?
Amen.
When you get out of the church, it's really rampant, isn't it?
Yeah.
But in lots of churches, it's rampant.
Yeah.
There's so many churches that have so much sin in them. I was just amazed the other day when I was watching the one down in Grapevine.
The fellowship.
It was, what's the name of that pastor?
Ed Young Jr.,
yeah. I was amazed at his teaching about sexual immorality in the church. I thought, wow, man, he's really on to this all of a sudden. Because for years I listened to him, he never talked about sin. But boy, lately he's talking about sin. I mean, I just said, Lord, thank you for touching that man's heart. He's preaching about sin. And he was telling his people how they need to get away from sin and how they need to walk holy and obedient to God's word. I thought, wow, praise the Lord. That's where every preacher ought to be preaching the word of God. Wow, but he was doing a good job, Ed Young Jr. I thought, wow. But you know, since I believe the King is coming soon, I think we need to understand what's fixing to happen so we can be prepared. Because I think that we need to really learn what pleases the Lord so we can be living there when he comes again. You know, because, you know, it might not be very long till you were walking down the street doing your job or something, and all of a sudden, you're gone. And everything in your life changed. And the next step you look at, you're walking on streets of gold and you say, how did I get here? That's going to be fun, isn't it? But for those of us that believe in Jesus and love him, that's where we're going. We're going to walk on streets of gold with the King. Wow. Praise the Lord. Wow.